Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. East African leaders react to the news of the death of Tanzanian President John Pombe Magufuli.
Africa and the world has lost an illustrious leader whose vision, passion, and immense leadership propelled the nation of Tanzania forward and also steered the East African community to closer integration.
And an Australian doctor is in South Sudan to treat women who suffer from fistula.
We've been operating in the last three camps, about 30 ladies a camp, and this camp we have 34 ladies to operate on, so it's about 120 ladies that we treated in South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Tanzanians are in mourning following the sudden death of President John Pombe Magufuli, whose weeks-long absence from the public eye sparked rumors he was seriously ill, possibly from the coronavirus. Analysts and activists have mixed views on Magufuli, known as the bulldozer for pushing through big projects, and his intolerance of critics. As Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi, condolences are pouring in from East African leaders on the death of the Tanzanian president. Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta, current chair of the East African Community, ordered 7 days of national mourning and 4 East African Community and Kenyan flags to fly at half-mast.
Tanzania has begun 21 days of mourning after the death of its fifth president, John Magufuli. The 61-year-old died of heart disease, according to the Vice President Samia Suluhu Hassan, who announced his passing Wednesday. Neighboring Kenya is marking his death by flying flags at half-staff and observing a 7-day national mourning period. President Uhuru Kenyatta, who chairs the East African Community, of which Tanzania is a member, praised the late president for the work he did for that country.
Africa and the world has lost an illustrious leader whose vision, passion, and immense leadership propelled the nation of Tanzania forward and also steered the East African community to closer integration. On the continental stage, the late President Magufuli was a champion of Pan-Africanism. In the passing on of President Magufuli, I have lost a friend, a colleague, and a visionary ally.
Officials in countries including Uganda and Rwanda also sent condolences. Magufuli was last seen on February 27th. His absence from public view raised questions about his health status from opposition groups. Magufuli came to power in 2015 on a platform of fighting corruption. He would appear in government offices and announce to catch employees not serving the public. Philbert Komu is a political analyst and a lecturer at the University of Dar es Salaam. He says the president did good things for the country.
Infrastructure-wise, he was doing really, really, really well. But also, he's leaving behind a legacy of at least a government that is feared to the extent that people at least reduce the open corruption. You know, it was not easy to see people stealing from the government, you know, the grand corruption as it was before in Tanzania. But also, you can see that even those people who used to take, you know, the small corruptions on the streets, like the police and the traffic police, are still doing it to the minor extent, but at least with a great fear.
Magufuli won his second term in office last October after an election marred by opposition group intimidation. Some did not like his style of governance and how he cracked down on dissent. Others fled the country, like Tundu Lissu, his main challenger in the last election. Fatma Karume, a former head of the Tanganyika Law Society, said Magufuli did not follow the constitution during his time in office.
I can certainly tell you what I can remember about him, what my memory will be of him. He was a man who took the wrecking ball to the constitution, to the rule of law, to freedom of speech, and we were left with a country whose infrastructure, whose systems were just wrecked.
With new leadership to run the country until 2025, Karume says the government cannot continue to ignore its people and other countries.
I hope that the president-to-be, who is Samia Suluhu, will take this very seriously and decide to bring us together as a nation And that includes having discussions with the opposition, and that includes having discussion with civil society, having serious and open discussions with the business community, having serious and open discussions with the international community, including donor countries and donor agencies, and to see how we can take Tanzania from the ashes that we're now seeing and revive it to a country of hope.
Magufuli came to politics as a lawmaker in 1995, representing the Chato district in western Tanzania. Vice President Samia Suluhu Hassan from Zanzibar Island would lead the country for the 4.5-year remainder of Magufuli's term, becoming the first female president in the East African nation. Mohamed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
President Magufuli died at a hospital in Dar es Salaam. David Doyle looks at the life of Magufuli.
Speaking on state television, Vice President Samia Suluhu Hassan said Magufuli had died of a heart condition at a hospital in Dar es Salaam. The 61-year-old, one of Africa's most prominent coronavirus skeptics, had not been seen in public since the end of February. Speculation was rife that he had contracted COVID-19. Magufuli had denounced measures to stop the spread of the virus and labelled vaccines a Western conspiracy. Last week, officials denied he was ill. Government figures also said Magufuli was working normally and that citizens should ignore rumours from outside the country. Tanzanian police have arrested four people since last week for allegedly spreading false information about the health of political leaders.
The UN Refugee Agency and partners are appealing for $1.2 billion to provide humanitarian aid for more than 2.2 million South Sudanese refugees sheltering in five neighboring countries. More than half of the refugees are children under 18. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The hopes that accompanied South Sudan's independence a decade ago have long since disappeared, pushed aside by a displacement crisis. Since civil war erupted in December 2013, nearly 2 million people have been displaced inside the country. Another 2.2 million have sought refuge in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, Kenya, Sudan, and Uganda. UN Refugee Agency spokesman Baba Baluch says the South Sudan refugees are among the youngest in the world. He says more than two-thirds of them are children.
We are talking about at least 1.4 million South Sudanese refugees being children today under the age of 18. And they include some 66,000 children who have been separated from their parents.
The South Sudanese refugee crisis is the largest on the African continent. Baluch says most of the South Sudanese refugees are living in remote, underdeveloped areas in their host countries. He says they are in great need of humanitarian and protection assistance.
The COVID-19 pandemic combined with the climate change-related challenges, including severe flooding, droughts, and desert locusts, have compounded an already dire situation. Funding is urgently needed to provide life-sustaining assistance, including shelter, access to safe drinking water, education, and health services.
Baluch notes food rations have had to be cut for hundreds of thousands of refugees because of lack of money. He says the pandemic is taking a heavy toll on socioeconomic conditions for both refugees and host communities. He warns conditions will continue to deteriorate for this vulnerable population without generous international support. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, Sudan requests for mediation in the Nile water dispute with Ethiopia. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. question today.
Can you share an inspirational quote and where you heard it from?
Heavy rains are a reminder of challenges in life. Never ask for a lighter rain. Just pray for better umbrella. I just came across it while I was reading something on social media.
This quote I just added from church. The father was like, "For those who seek, always find. And so fight endlessly for what you want for the future."
Friends are like buttons on the lift. They either bring you down or take you up. I heard it while I was in secondary school and it stuck since then.
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah will have solution to whatever problems. It is from the Holy Quran.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Sudan on Monday formally requested four-party mediation on the standoff with Egypt against Addis Ababa's Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, a hydropower dam on the Blue Nile. Sudan has asked the African Union, the United Nations, the European Union, and the United States to help, but Ethiopia has dismissed the request. Naba Muhyiddin speaks to analysts about the implications of the standoff and prospects for mediation.
Sudan on Monday formally requested mediation help after a breakdown in talks with the Ethiopian government. Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok asked the African Union, the United Nations, the European Union and the United States in formal letters Monday to help Sudan and neighboring Egypt reach a legal agreement with Ethiopia on when and how Ethiopia fills the reservoir behind the massive dam. Ethiopia started to build the hydropower dam in 2011 and filled the reservoir for the first time in 2020, leading to a breakdown in the long-running talks. The Egyptian and Sudanese government are worried that the dam will reduce the level of the Nile downstream and deprive their populations of water for agriculture and everyday life. Sudanese security analyst Hanafi Abdullah thinks the Ethiopian-Sudanese dispute in particular will raise regional tensions if the countries can't reach an agreement. He says in the case of the parties in transigence, Sudan may make further regional and international efforts to punish Ethiopia by bringing political and economic pressures. The region shall witness security implications out of these disputes. They will definitely affect the security of the Horn of Africa region and could lead to a turmoil. Sudan has said the dam puts at least half of its population at risk. The African Union, which has led the talks between the three countries, didn't comment on Hamdok's request, but has previously encouraged them to resume the talks. Security expert General Mohamed Bashir believes the countries should avoid war at all costs. He says the two countries could not bear to be involved in a war and worsen their own complicated situations. They should be aware of the implication of such disputes, not only in the two countries, but extending to include the Red Sea and the region, and the world wouldn't accept a war erupting in this fragile region. Ethiopian Minister of Foreign Affairs Dina Mufti said his country has not received any formal notifications from Sudan and Egypt on their four-party mediation request. He praised the role of the African Union on mediating in the continental dispute. Dina said Ethiopia is willing to resume negotiations before the second filling of the dam, despite the country's earlier dismissal of negotiations. Filling of the reservoir is scheduled to begin in April. Naba Muhyiddin for VOA News, Khartoum.
Some residents and local leaders in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state have accused Sudanese nomadic communities of killing South Sudanese who cross into Sudan. A Masiria leader says he believes any differences between communities living along the Sudan-South Sudan border can be resolved in a peaceful means. For VOA News, Hoa Kotho reports from Awil.
Northern Vargasa residents and leaders say, despite holding conferences and signing accords aimed at restoring peace between communities living on either side of the border, Sudanese Masiria and Rezegard nomads continue to loot traders, abduct women and children, and even kill people along the Sudan-South Sudan border. They say last week, suspected Masiria nomads killed three South Sudanese youth in Awul East County near the border with Sudan. Abram Wall, the Northern Bargasa Information Minister, says the bodies of the three youth were discovered in a forest along the South Sudan-Sudan border.
According to the report, five were brought out of the vehicle. They were taken to the bush, of course, and they killed three. Two started running, they ran, of course, and they escaped the killing. In fact, as usual, this was said to be some Masiria, unidentified gunmen who just came out from their hiding and attacked the vehicle. The two decided to run and the three were killed.
During the dry season, Rezegard and Masiria nomads usually move towards South Sudan along with their families to look for water and pasture for their livestock. Northern Bargasa residents routinely cross the Sudan to access goods and health care and to find work. World says in the recent past, UN agencies would fund reconciliation conferences between Sudan nomads and the Dinka in Northern Bargasa to ensure peaceful coexistence. World says the agreement signed, which often include compensation if there were any killings, often do not last. World says the Northern Bargasa government officials are considering capital punishment or lifelong prison terms rather than compensation for victims as a way of stopping the killings and other abuses occurring along the border.
You know, normally when there is an incident related to such security matters, the government tries to track down, to identify the culprits, who really are the people involved in the incidents. A dialogue is facilitated between the two communities, the relatives of the deceased, and then the culprits or the relatives of the culprits, so that the matter is resolved peacefully.
Northern Bargasa youth, Akol Albino, says rather than imposing blood compensation, which is given to victims' families in the form of cows or money to end killings, the national government in Juba should work with the transitional government in Khartoum to end insecurity along the South Sudan-Sudan border.
What happened in the last week on the way to North Sudan, it was something very shock and painful. And we don't like all these things to happen when our people travel from here to Northern Sudan. The government of South Sudan, and particularly the government of Northern Bargasa State, should at least have a strong agreement with the government of North Sudan before the Masiria tribe nomads cross to South Sudan.
Some Masiria and Rezegard traders working in the state say border communities can resolve their differences peacefully. A leader of the Masiria traders in Awil, who prefers to use the Saidom Ibrahim Ismail for safety reasons, says border communities should continue to dialogue and adhere to the resolutions they signed.
The peace resolutions we made and agreed to between us and our neighbors are helpful for all of us.
Relatives of young people who were killed in recent weeks are urging state and national government authorities to improve security along the South Sudan-Sudan border. For VOA News, I'm Owa Kodo in Awil, Northern Bargasa State.
From Awil, we move to Juba, where an Australian-based organization known as Barbara May Foundation is treating South Sudanese women suffering from fistula. An Australian fistula surgeon, Dr. Andrew Browning, who is operating the patients in Juba, says more than 30 women will recover by the end of the two-week exercise. The United Nations Population Fund says about 60,000 women in South Sudan are suffering from fistula. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Obstetric fistula is a medical condition in which a hole develops in the birth canal that is caused by prolonged obstructed labor. This can be between the vagina and rectum, ureter or bladder. It can result in incontinence of urine or feces, meaning it leaves a woman unable to control urine or her bowel movements. A 14-year-old girl, whose name we are not using to protect her privacy, is lying on a bed at the Lutheran Medical Center. She says a doctor friend called her last month from Juba when she was in Rumbek to inform her about the fistula camp, and that is how she made it for the operation. The girl says she has been living with the condition since last year. She says in 2019, an old man found her by the roadside, kidnapped her, and forced her into marriage. She says she got pregnant and developed fistula as she was delivering her firstborn child as a child herself.
I delivered a baby at home in the village. It's not a town where I could be taken to the hospital. I delivered alone. There was a woman who was helping me so that the baby can come in her hands, but she put her hands in and it cut the urinary tube and urine started flowing by itself. And the relatives of my husband said they don't want me, that I am smelling. So I went to my father's home. When I am going to church or market, I buy Pampers and wear. If I can't afford, I just stay at home.
Dr. Andrew Browning, an Australian fistula surgeon with the Barbara May Foundation, says the project is a partnership with the Lutheran Church in South Sudan, funded by the Fistula Foundation in the U.S. He says he has worked in Africa for the last 25 years, operating on fistula patients, and opened the first fistula camp in South Sudan in 2018.
We've been operating in the last three camps, about 30 ladies a camp, and this camp we have 34 ladies to operate on, so it's now it's about 120 ladies that we treated in South Sudan. But that's just a small part of the problem. There's many thousands of women in South Sudan with this problem, so we need to train more doctors to be able to do this operation.
Browning says he trained some South Sudanese surgeons several years ago when they were sent to Ethiopia for training. He says the surgeons could be working now in Juba, Wau and Awil, but more doctors are needed to perform the operations.
So there's some people doing it, but not enough. And the patients that come here are usually the patients that have been operated in other places and have failed. So far, in the last few days, we've operated 21 ladies, but almost all of them have been operated somewhere else, but the operation hasn't worked. And so it makes the next operation more difficult, but we'll pray that they are succeeded this time.
Browning sees there are many misconceptions about fistula, but the condition is treatable.
Some people think, oh, it was a bad spirit or a curse, or maybe the woman was unfaithful in her marriage, or many things that people think caused the fistula. That's not true. It's just that the baby was too big for the mother to deliver, and so it got stuck. And so she was stuck in labor for 5 days. It's not her fault. It's an awful condition to live with. She's leaking urine all the time. She's very ashamed.
Dr. Browning encouraged South Sudanese to bring women and girls suffering from the condition to one of the camps at the Lutheran Medical Center or at Juba Teaching Hospital for treatment. Dr. John Sebit, medical director at the Lutheran Medical Center, where the operations are being conducted, says while the center registered 49 patients, only 42 turned up and only 34 were qualified for the operations. He says the center started the project to support mothers who are often rejected by their loved ones due to their conditions.
This camps we started in 2018 after realizing that there are so many mothers outside there living with the fistula, obstetrics fistula. And again, the specialists who do these surgeries are not so common. There are so few and they cannot reach outside there. So as the Lutheran Medical Center, we said we can let us help, and we decided that wherever they are, we can help identify them, transport them, and take them to where they can be operated.
Dr. Browning says obstetric fistula will continue in South Sudan until mothers start delivering from hospitals, so that when a baby becomes stuck, doctors can carry out a cesarean or C-section and prevent the debilitating condition. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you today. We love to hear what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. We now leave you with some instrumental music from West Africa. We've been listening to some instrumental music from West Africa. I'm John Tanz in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from coronavirus. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America.